going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. It's Sean and RJ. Sean is on paternity leave. Final week of that. He'll be back next week.
Allegedly.
We will be in Anna on Wednesday as the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour rolls on.
Yep. So Anna is the only fire station in Anna. So it's 305 South Powell Parkway, Anna, Texas. But if you just look up where is the fire station in Anna, you'll find it there. And we'll have a Whataburger breakfast for you, as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps. And they're going to go fast. So you're going to want to come out to 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna, Texas on Wednesday from 6 to 10 a.m. And thank you to Whataburger, Firehouse Eating in there, and Firehouse Movers.
All right, that's on Wednesday. So Firehouse Tour. We are also the home of the NFL Draft. We had it, you know, this weekend.
We did.
On the Fan. Had, you know, the obviously big day at Pluckers on Thursday for the first round. And then you get into later rounds and, you know, there was some coverage and Zach Walchuk was on the broadcast.
He was. And
we have the guests. We have every player, right?
Yeah, every player comes on usually within 10 minutes of being picked. They're on the air with
us. Cool.
And I was not on Saturday after I woke up with what felt like razor blades going through my intestines. And so I was really disappointed I was not on.
You sound like you need a shot of penicillin.
I was really disappointed I was not on just for this moment of Zach Walchuk interviewing seventh round defensive tackle Jay Toya.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist. You know, that's more like Marins, you know. I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist, but I think we could try.
We can try.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. All right, Jay Toy joining us here on the
boom, 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 boom. Put the camera on. What are we doing?
If your brother's a rugby player in New Zealand,
gonna miss that myself.
How are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get okay. Well, if you're
down,
we need your brother.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Oxnard, sir.
Break down and start doing.
Is that racist?
No, not at all. You literally does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey, Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
You gotta step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
Oh, gosh. Zach Walchuk. And joining us now
is
the godfather of draft coverage, who was also having trouble keeping it together during that moment. Brian Broaddus. Brian, how are you? And how embarrassed was Zach after that?
I still have tears in my eyes from laughing about that whole situation. But, you know, it's funny when, you know, you're interviewing these kids and you're trying just to, like, not ask them a bunch of X's and O's questions. You're like, oh, well, how do you see your fit? What's in your mind? All that, you know. And Zach was just trying. I mean, he was just trying to kind of draw the kid into some conversation. And his, well, I'm Tongan. We don't, you know, and it just, it was a fun moment, a funny moment, put it that way, because, you know, you're in the seventh round. It's getting, I mean, it's been, you know, 18 hours of coverage and stuff, but that one will always live in draft show history for sure.
Yeah, I know Zach. I didn't get a chance to talk to him on Saturday, but knowing Zach, I know Zach went home and probably has not spent one second not thinking about this. He's probably just dwelled on it the entire time and been eaten up by it. All right, Brian, we get through the draft and a lot of really good value that the Cowboys got across the board. Mm-hmm. Maybe didn't address your biggest needs in a timely mm-hmm. manner that people wanted. You didn't get a wide receiver two at all. You waited till the fifth to get a running back. But overall, when you look at the draft class that they got, the players that they got, how do you evaluate the haul that the Cowboys got over the weekend?
Yeah, I really do appreciate you retweeting the clip I had, the question I asked Ross Winchie, you know, the national scout for the Cowboys. And it appeared to me they really set their board up not thinking about needs. They set their board up, to reflect the players that they liked. And they picked their board is what they did. And it's funny, I know on my particular stack of the 235 players that I studied, I had it in reverse order. Their third round player was my best player. Their second round player was my next best player. And the player that they took first was the third best player. So it was the way, you know, if you could get in, just on my evaluation, if you could get three players in the first 37 picks, you know, that tells me a lot right there. And I really do believe that I think we're all a little guilty, guys, leading up to the draft. And I'm talking about the media and maybe even the national media as well. We were talking about receiver, you know, Golden, McMillan, Abuka, Golden, Million, you know, and we were just kept talking about receiver. And they were just sitting there looking at their board going, okay, when we set this thing up, you know, there was obviously a gap between McMillan and Golden and their stack. There obviously was. You know, we all believe, well, they're just going to pivot. Once they lose McMillan, they're going to pivot to Golden. And we'll see. History will see if they were right or wrong. But they clearly had players. And I know a couple of days up leading to the draft, I was trying to, like, kind of talk through. And, you know, when Jerry Jones came out in that press conference and said, we haven't set our board, that was kind of a clue to me that they were having discussions about where some of these guys were going to fit. And they obviously did an exercise where McMillan was off the board and they said, no, we're comfortable with Booker right here. We're comfortable. You know, they had a gap between their receivers and the gap happened to be one of the players that they drafted. So I give them credit. I always, you know, you always want them to draft the board. Take the stack, don't jump tags, take the players you want, and then fill in the pieces later as you go along.
Do teams, like, manipulate their board at times? Is that philosophy that happens?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, there's a couple of times where, if you remember even the Jerry Jones when Johnny Manziel was on the board, and Jerry was trying to manipulate the board, and Steven and Jason Garrett and Will McClay wouldn't let him do it. You know, we lose Ryan Shazier. Jerry reminds the room that, oh, well, hey, Johnny Manziel's still on the board, guys. And everybody's like, no, we got Zach Martin. Zach Martin's the next tag. And so you get some teams. Unfortunately, Tom Siskowski lost his job. Because of if you go back to the Sharif Floyd draft where they had him in the, you know, the top five on their board, and all of a sudden, you know, Rod Marinelli comes in and goes, well, I don't like him in the top five. And now there's a little bit of that chaos there. And so you're kind of having to move around. So, teams do kind of say, well, maybe we need to go do this now. Maybe we need to do that. And unfortunately, that's just like window dressing your board. And to me, that's just not the best way to operate.
Brian, do you think it's
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Also, just a function of the fact that they didn't get the wide receiver too is a function of just the way things fell ahead of them. So, like, if McMillan is there at 12, they take McMillan. If Burden is there at 44, they probably take Burden. And I don't know. Who knows? Maybe if they get to 76, I don't know how much they liked Trey Harris or Jack Besh, but maybe Besh or Harris make them, it's close enough to Revel that they go, okay, well, that's a need enough, and we have them graded closely enough that we can go that direction. Do you think it's just they were in a kind of no man's land where receivers that they liked in that range were getting picked off, and so the next one, if they would have taken them there, they would have really been jumping their board?
Yeah, no, I think they might have had the receivers that you're talking about in position to take. And you're a little bit at the mercy of the draft at that point in time. Now, you know, they really didn't have the capital to be able to say, listen, we're about to lose one of these receivers and we need to go get one. You know, they were, you know, without that fourth round pick and their unwillingness to give up their third round pick, like I said, that was the 11th best player on my board. So I applaud them for not moving and giving up that, you know, they could have very easily given up that third and gotten back and moved up and grabbed one of those wide receivers. But I kind of had an idea, Bobby, and we talked about it on the G-Bag Nation, that they were going to come and tell us that, hey, one of these receivers, where it's Mingo, you know, with Tolbert, one of these guys that got to step up. I think they still have a plan for trying to go and grab a receiver. I really do, whether it's in free agency. You know, there's maybe some avenues they can go there, and maybe even to trade for some of next year's capital can go get them a receiver. So I don't think they're done with trying to grab a guy right now.
Trade another fourth.
Yeah.
Why, not every year now anyway.
That's what we do.
Trade another fourth round pick.
We trade the fourth. That's what we do. You know, Brian, when I look at this, though, we talk about – there were a lot of people who said it wasn't a needs draft. It wasn't a needs draft. But it is interesting when you look at – you get Booker at right guard. You get Ezeraku at edge. Revel at corner. Blue at running back. And you look down the list. I think there's a case to be made that your top four picks, and then maybe Toya, and maybe even James. I don't know if things go a certain way. You could have five or six of these guys start games for you next year, potentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. The fact that, like I said, I in my heart of hearts, I knew if they liked Booker, then, or they were thinking about maybe moving Banks, you know, that kind of thing. If they drafted Banks and they were going to move, that would have been a good pick. Does it fill something they could have used? Yeah. I mean, Booker's going to come in and start, you know, I mean, that's just the way that's going to be over there. I mean, no offense to Brock Hoffman, but Brock Hoffman for 5 to 6 games is fine. Brock Hoffman for 17 games is not fine. So Booker comes in and will fill that role and probably fill it at a very high level. But yeah, every one of the picks, the Revel pick at corner, you know, him working with Britt Brown, getting back on the field very soon will help everything.
Broadus, what is your take on, because I saw a lot of people say that, you know, taking a guard at 12 is not great value. I think it's fine. I have no problem with it. I think, you know, you shore up the interior, you shore up any offensive line position. I'm all about it. Where do you stand on that? Is that bad value?
I'm just about taking good players. I'm from the school of I would have taken, you know, everybody was talking about you can't take Ashton Jeanty at 12. You can't take a running back at 12. Yeah, you can if he's the second best player in your stack. I had Hunter number one and Ashton Jeanty number two. My job is to take players, to take the best players. You know, people talk about positional value and all that stuff like that. You know, you will find, if you're good enough at this, you will find other players to supplement your team. That's your job. But your job, number one, line one, is to be able to take the best players. Taking a guard at that spot, I have no problem with that. I'm just trying to stack my players and the best players to the least. And whatever number I have on that board, those are the guys I want to take, and I should be comfortable with that. And I don't think, you know, people talk about that all the time, positional value stuff, and it's the metrics thing and all that. You know, play one of these games without a runner and see how that goes. You know, try not to, in your division, don't block Philadelphia's one techniques or the Giants' one technique or the Commanders' one technique. Don't block those guys and see how well you play. Is it positional value if you can't block those guys? Because you're saying, oh, wait, we can't take one of those guys. We can't have one of the best guys at that position blocking that guy. No, that's ridiculous to me.
Brian, and Brian Broaddus joins us here on 105 Through the Fan. We talked a lot Friday morning about Tyler Booker, so the listeners have heard a lot about him. For those who don't follow along with the draft show, don't listen to the coverage, and this is the first time, all right, I'm getting a chance to hear about the new guys they got. Let's run down the list a little bit and get your thoughts on some of the primary guys. Let's start with Donovan Ezeraku, the edge rusher from Boston College, a guy who, I mean, this is a legitimate, I think a lot of people felt like borderline first-round player that is going to get after the quarterback. This guy wins a lot.
He wins a lot, and he knows how to bend. You know, in this draft, there were some bendy guys, and there were some guys that kind of were better run defenders. This guy can legitimately rush the passer. This guy is one of those, the first step, that able to get attack. He puts a lot of pressure on offensive tackles because his ability to play really, really low and dip, and then he knows how to finish at the quarterback. And they move this guy around a ton. This is very similar to how the Cowboys will play with Micah Parsons. They'll stand him up over here. They'll put him down over here. They'll make a matchup over here. Boston College did a great job. Tim Lewis did a great job of moving him around in order to make him have opportunities to rush.
Yeah, and you're seeing some of the video up on the fan cam right now of Ezeraku winning against North Carolina. And man, they used him, like you said, a lot of different ways. They'd line him up on both edges. They'd put him in the A gap. He's a really fun player. If a little bit undersized, but he's a really fun player. The guy you loved a ton, you've already mentioned. Tell us about East Carolina corner Savone, as we found out, Savone Revelle.
Savone Revelle is he was one of my, if he does not have the knee problem or the knee issue, then he's going to be one of the best corners in this draft. And, you know, at 6'2", the length, the first thing you're going to notice when you see him in person is how long he is as a player. And it serves him very well. He's got really quick feet. He can play with a burst. He's extremely tough. I was watching the Michigan game. They try and run a play down on the goal line to the outside. It bounces to the outside. Edwards is trying to take the ball in. And Revelle meets him at the goal line. And you think, man, a corner with a back at the goal line is a disaster. Yeah, it was a disaster for Michigan because he didn't get in the end zone. This kid is extremely tough. He can rally on routes across the field, down the field. He's a hard guy to run away from. Dr. Cooper did the surgery from the Cowboys. You know he's in good hands there. And Britt Brown's about to grab this kid and really, really kind of take him to another level and get him back on the field very, very soon. So really super excited about the ability and what this kid brings to it.
We talked about a lot of running backs during the draft lead up, Brian, as Brian Broaddus joins us here on 105 Through the Fan. With the fifth round pick, the running back that the Cowboys end up getting is Jaden Blue from Texas, a guy I don't know that we talked about as much. And Aiden's going to throw up some video of Jaden Blue on the fan cam here. But tell us a little bit about your thoughts on Jaden Blue.
Yeah, extremely explosive as a back. He's, you know, you think at 5'9", 196 pounds, he might, he's a small guy. You know, he is more likely to break tackles the way of avoiding tackles is what he's going to do. You get in him in a one-on-one situation, it is a real problem for the defender. His ability to plant, cut, avoid, the quickness. He's an outstanding pass catcher. There's a couple of backs in this draft, him and Allen from Syracuse, who are outstanding. Smith from SMU, outstanding pass catchers. This kid was one of them. You throw the ball to him in space, it is a nightmare for the defense to have to deal with.
Really quick, Brian, just on the Blue front, because I know Chop is going to have a question for you. You mentioned him as a pass catcher. Absolutely, like a legit mismatch that you can line up at receiver at times.
Absolutely, yep.
There were some issues, and I'm curious if you had any problems with this. Some swing passes he drops. Passes that he'll drop, or he'll he had a ball bounce off his hands against ULM. I think they got picked off, or he doesn't. So when you saw any of that on tape, did you look at that was focus or just some off target stuff that he maybe wasn't totally? What is that? Because you do see definitely some real pop as a pass catcher.
Yeah, but and then you also then you watch the Ohio State game where they swing him a couple of times and he gets two touchdowns as well. So, yeah, you know, sometimes receivers do have concentration lacks. Maybe the ball, you know, got on him too quick. Maybe he didn't identify where it was. I just see so many times with him, though, not just screen passes, but upfield routes, inside Texas routes. You know, those little out, then inside, quick break, boom, ball on him, and then he's north and south into the end zone. Yeah, you're going to have some of those where you're going to have a couple of them where it could, you know, get on you or you didn't track it the right way. But most of the time, everything that was thrown his direction was reception and resulted into a big play.
Broadus, is there a team in the NFC East that you thought absolutely nailed it this weekend?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, there was a couple of teams that I really, really liked. I liked what like Jacksonville did, and I liked what, but you're talking about the East. Philadelphia, they had so many picks. Yeah. And I think where Philadelphia did some damage was in the second half of the draft, you know, their first round picks, but that's a team that's very, very talent rich. They got some guys that they're going to have, they made decisions on that they're going to move on from. But Philadelphia, to me, the players where they fell for them, I'm just talking about the draft in general too. Kansas City, Baltimore were another couple of teams where it seemed that players, the best players, I know on my stack, those were the ones, but I think Philadelphia helped themselves. I think the Giants absolutely helped themselves. I'm a fan of Jackson Dart myself. I didn't have him over Shedeur Sanders, but right though, both those guys right there in the second round where he was picked, I think he was the 27th best player on my board. So right where he was taken, that's kind of where I felt. But Philadelphia, to me, the Commanders, the division, they picked off, you know, two or three players that are going to be factors in this year's season.
Last one before we let you go, Broadus, we've got a lot of people obviously who are curious about Shedeur Sanders. What did you think about him as a player and in general, your perception of his fall to the fifth round?
Yeah, I think it was unfortunate. I don't quite understand it from my perspective. I know on my board, I had him as the 20th best player. I had 15 first round grades. So that means that put him in the second round where I would have had him or been comfortable selecting him. So, you know, maybe on some other drafts, he's a little bit further down or maybe he's a little bit higher. But yeah, the thing that, you know, teams might not have liked talking to him in a way of they put him on the board. Maybe they didn't feel like that. They didn't feel very comfortable that he was able to process the information that they were asking him to do. He had a pro coach that was working with him, you know, at Colorado, Pat Shurmur. So there's some elements of the pro game that you watch Shedeur Sanders, you know, attempt to do and been able to be successful doing it. So I think, you know, sometimes teams just don't like players. Maybe he came off bad in the interviews. There's a lot of talk about that. Maybe they put him on the board. They didn't think he was smart enough. You know, some teams, maybe teams will do different things to kind of get an idea about these quarterbacks. But it's very surprising to me, especially where I had him on my stack, how far he did fall. I think Cleveland got a hell of a quarterback. I personally had him over Dylan Gabriel. I think Dylan Gabriel's a fine quarterback. But if you watch the tape, to me, the plays that Sanders makes off platform, throwing to his left, there's some things you're going to have to clean up with the feet and stuff, but they'll find a way to get that done.
Thank you, Broadus. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a great day.
Brian Broadus, G-Bag Nation, right here, 105.3 The Fan.
Do you think Brian knows how to? We should ask Brian if he knows how to do the haka.
No. I mean,
he doesn't. He doesn't have a brother that plays in New Zealand, though.
No, so. He does not have a brother that plays in New Zealand. It is the commercial-free expressway, and this portion of the expressway is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano as we hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades when they take on the Michigan Panthers Saturday, May 10th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Just saw on the news, looks like I-30 at Horizon is like completely shut down.
Jeez.
It looks pretty bad. So if you're already in it, I'm sorry. And if you're not yet in it,
Avoid it.
I couldn't find out what direction it was in. It was heading, but just know it looks really, really bad. Looks really, really bad.
I-30 often does.
Yeah, it often does.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it.
And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.